Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, sports fans, and we're coming to you live today from Seattle, where the Seattle Majestics are taking on the Chicago Force in a divisional round playoff game for the IWFL's Western Conference. Right now, it's about 80 degrees down on the field. There's a few scattered clouds in the sky, and it's a great day for a football game. We're just getting ready for the opening kickoff here, and we want to say welcome to everybody who's joining us. Coming to us from the LA-Kansas City game that is still in progress. At this point, there's a few minutes left in the game, and Los Angeles is up 14-6. So we will let you know what the final is on that game as soon as we have it confirmed. All right. So we are almost ready to kick off here. They're just finishing up the national anthem. And then we will have the kickoff between the Chicago Force and the Seattle Majestics. Seattle comes in as the number one seed in the IWFL Western Conference with a record of 8 wins and no losses. Chicago is number 4 seed. They finished second in their division with a record of 6 wins and 2 losses. The only time that these two teams have met previously was in 2005. It was also the divisional round of the IWFL playoffs. And Seattle won that game 14-0. In just a few moments, Seattle will be receiving the ball. Chicago is going to kick off. They are going from my left to my right. Almost ready to get started here. Seattle is wearing their black jerseys, all black. And Chicago is in their away whites. And both teams look prepared and ready for today's contest. If you'd like to watch what's actually happening, you can go to livestream.com/Seattle Majestics TV. That's Majestics with an S. And here comes the kickoff. And they decided to try an onside kick, let the Majestics recover. They're going to have the ball at their own 47-yard line. Casey Rivas fell on the ball, and Seattle was not surprised by Chicago's trickery. So now the offense, led by 2009 IWFL All-Star Michael Volk at quarterback, the Majestics come out for their first offensive series. They break the huddle now. Both teams are at the line and ready to go. There's a lot of movement on the Chicago secondary. And they're coming around the side. There's some movement in the backfield. It's a give straight up. And Air Force, Crystal Sanderson, can't get anything going. She's met at the line by big number 63, Jamie Menzik. So it's a no gain on the play. Now they're back in the huddle. Michael Volk under center, sends out the center, getting ready for the snap. They've got Camille Head for the Seattle out wide and tight downtown, Crystal Brown. Here they come. It's a pass outside to Crystal Brown. She's got some daylight. as she's forced out of bounds in Chicago territory. It's a gain of about 7 yards. And there is a penalty flag on the play, it looks like. Let's see what's going on. Nope, they're going to wave the penalty flag off. And so now both teams get ready to go at it again. It's third down with 4 yards to go. The Majestics break the huddle. Chicago waiting. And they come out with two backs. There's some movement. And it looks like they're giving it up the center. And the Majestics running back, number 3, Rachel Gore, met by a wall of Chicago defenders. She gets about 8 yards, but there's a penalty flag on the play. And it's going to be encroachment by Chicago. So it's going to be a Chicago penalty. And we'll see where that puts the Majestics. There's some discussion on the field. And now they'll march the ball forward. It's a 5-yard penalty, but it's enough to give the Majestics a first down. So they are at the Chicago 42. And they are getting the play sent from the sideline now. They get ready to go. The Majestics are moving from my right to my left. And they've come out of the huddle now, getting set for the play. Michael Volk under center. Crystal Brown in motion. It's a handoff. And Crystal Air Force Sanderson met by number 17 for Chicago. That would be Darlene Hall. And number 35, Veronica Hernandez. That gets them about 2 yards, so the Majestics have a 2nd and 8, and they're right about the Chicago 40-yard line. Now they break the huddle, and the Majestics are getting ready for another play. They bring 2 out wide with 2 in the backfield. Michael Volk under center. Fakes the handoff to Adrian Wilson, gives it to Rachel Gore, who gets up the center of the field, picks up about 6 yards before she's brought down by number 85, Kimberly Marks. This Chicago defense has been pretty stingy on the season. They are a tough team to run against. They've got a lot of big players up in the center to fill those gaps. So the Majestics offensive line is going to have its work cut out for it today. Now the Majestics are back again. They've got 2 wide out, this time to the right side of the field. Now they're making some last-minute adjustments, and Michael Volk decides to call a timeout. So Seattle calls their first timeout with about 12 minutes left. It's 3rd down and 2, and the ball is on the Chicago 34-yard line. So these teams will go at it here in just a moment once they get done with the timeout. There's a lot of shadows on the field that are just creating some difficulty for the passing game, so it'll be interesting to see which team can get the air attack going. Other than the shadows, it's a perfect day. There's beautiful weather. And now Chicago has broken the huddle. They're getting ready for their defensive stand. So here we go. The Majestics are still going over some last-second game plans and trying to figure out a way around the defense of the Chicago force. And Seattle's having to contend with 3 linebackers from the force that made the all-star team, either as an all-star or an alternate. And they've also got number 92, Mulch, on the defensive line. Now here's the play, and Crystal Sanderson has the ball. She's stopped in the backfield by number 92, Amanda Mulch, just like we were talking about, showing why she is on the 2009 IWFL All-Star team. So that goes nowhere. Seattle's going to be looking at a fourth down and about 3 yards to go. Let's see. So here they come out. Seattle's going to decide whether to punt or whether to go for it. And it looks like they're going to decide to go for it. So here we go. They break the snap and or break the huddle, excuse me. Get ready. They've got Camille Head on the wide out. And opposite of her, Adrian Wilson. Now there's some motion. And actually, Chicago's going to go ahead and call a timeout. I think they were maybe expecting a punt. And they didn't get it. So they're going to take their first timeout. With about 11 minutes left. It's going to be fourth down and 5. And Seattle's going to be trying to maintain possession of the ball and put up the first score here of the game. So let's see what happens here. And the winner of this game will go on to face the winner of either the Los Angeles Amazons Kansas City game. And we will have a final for you here on that game very shortly. But for now, we're watching the sun set as we get ready for another great game here in the IWFL. And as they come out, they're still not going to punt. Seattle has decided to go for it. They've got two wide and two in the backfield. So let's see what they do. Chicago comes out with a four-woman front. Adrian Wilson in motion for the Majestics. Volk drops back, and she just overthrows tight end Gretchen Pitras down the field. Had her open at the 15-yard line, but just overthrown. So the ball is going to go back to Chicago, or over to Chicago, excuse me, for their first offensive possession, as the Majestics are unable to convert on that fourth down. So Chicago is coming out with a very talented offensive group. This is a team that made it to the national championship for the IWFL last year, albeit when they were in the Eastern Conference. They ended up losing an overtime thriller to Dallas in that national championship game last year. And, of course, Dallas was eliminated earlier today by Boston, 34-14. Now they come out with a very unique offensive formation. They've only got two offensive linemen, but they've got about five or six wide. So let's see what they can do. And it's from the shotgun, number 82, with the ball. She is going to be just tripped up by Rachel Gord about the 42, 43-yard line of Seattle. It's a good connection, but she is shaken up on the play, Martha Dantuma. And you never like to see that. You want good play, but you don't ever want to see anybody injured. So hopefully she is all right. She's still down on the far side, and both teams on one knee. So hopefully things will be all right there. We'll keep you updated on that. So for right now, we can go over some of those talented offensive weapons that Chicago has. They had a number of players named to the All-Star team. 82, their wide receiver, who is down, unfortunately. She was one of the All-Stars, named as an alternate wide receiver to the All-Star team. They also had four offensive linemen named to the All-Star team. 51, Bennett, 86, Henderson, 63, Minzik, and 53, Brooks. You've also got the quarterback, number 15, Samantha, or Sammy, Griseth. And, of course, Abby Zuby, number 3. Also at wide receiver, and the running back, number 32, Amber Burns. So Chicago definitely has a lot of weapons, and it looks like Martha is up. She's shaking it off, so she's definitely shaken up, but luckily it doesn't look like it's anything serious. So she's walking off on her own power over to the other sideline, and I'm sure we'll see her back here in a little bit. So that brings up 1st and 10 for the Chicago Force. They are in Majestic's territory. They are at the Majestic's 43-yard line. And now they're going to go with Sammy under center. She's in the huddle, giving the orders. And the Majestics are waiting to see what kind of formation Chicago is going to come out with this time. So this should be an interesting matchup here. They break the huddle, and it looks like a more traditional formation. They've got two wide out on the right and two on the left, along with a single back formation. And Sammy is under center. Now there's the motion. They'll have three wide outs on the right. Here's the pass to number three, and that is Abby Zuby, and she makes the completion for about 5 yards, so it gives the Force about a 2nd and 5. Shannon Fitch, one of the four Seattle Majestic linebackers named to the All-Star team, had the tackle. So this will be a good matchup here with the offensive line of Chicago and the linebackers of the Majestics. See which one will prevail. Now they've got a spread formation. And here comes the play from the shotgun. Number 15 with the ball, up the center. And she is taken down at about the 26-yard line. She gains just a couple of yards. But it's enough for a 1st down. So there was some misdirection on that play, and it ends up getting a Chicago the 1st down they were looking for. We've got about 10 minutes left in the 1st quarter, and there's no score so far, but Chicago is on the move. Now Sammy is back under center. The Seattle crowd is calling for defense. Let's see what they can do. There's another play, and it looks like Rachel Gore wraps up. Oh, there's a loose ball. That was number 86 was the play initially. Don Peterson, Rachel Gore hit her so hard she lost the ball, but Chicago is able to recover, although they do lose a few yards. So that's going to be a loss on the play and a good Seattle defensive effort there. Now Sammy Kersoff is getting the play from the sideline. They're in the huddle, and Seattle is waiting to see what's going to come at them next. Chicago comes out with three wide receivers out on the right side, and they're in the shotgun formation. Now there's some motion on Chicago's part. They fake the handoff. They throw it out wide to 81. And that is Patricia Harper, who's just tattooed by Rachel Gore. The pass is not complete because Rachel hit her right as she got her hands on the ball. There was just no chance on that one. And so Rachel Gore with another strong defensive effort, showing why she is one of the hardest hitters in this league, no question. Chicago is now facing a 3rd and 20, and they're going to have to pull something out of their hat to make this conversion. Let's see what they do. Now they're going to go with 5 wide, nobody in the backfield except for their quarterback who's under shotgun, in the shotgun formation. And it looks like there's some movement from the Majestics, and the pass is thrown away. We'll take a look and see if there's any penalty flags. And it doesn't look like there were. They got back in time, and so the Majestics force a 4th and 20. So Chicago is going to have to decide what they want to do. They are on about the 38-yard line, 37-yard line of Seattle, so it would be about a 47-yard field goal attempt. And they're going to opt to punt instead. But they do have a number of people out wide, so we could see another trick play here. They did start with an onside kick attempt, so let's see what they do. And their punter is back. Here comes the play, and they're going to punt that away. It's a short punt. Camille Head takes the ball, And she misses it, but she does fall on top of it. So the Majestics catch a lucky break there. It looked for a moment like Chicago might be able to make some magic happen. But the Majestics do recover the punt, and despite muffing it, they get it at their own 18-yard line. So they're back deep, and they're going to have to see what happens. But now it looks like there is a flag, and it is on Chicago. So we may see a re-kick. We're waiting to hear what the officials are saying. They're conferring here in the midfield. And we'll let you know the call once they give it to us. There's still some discussion going on, but it does look like it was against Chicago. Okay, looks like actually there's a personal foul on Chicago, and that's going to give the Majestics another 15 yards. So a costly penalty on Chicago gives the Majestics some added breathing room. It's going to bring the ball out to just shy of the 30-yard line. So now the Chicago defense is going to be back on the field trying to hold the Majestics. And Michael Volk and this talented Majestics offense will go to work here at their own 29. Now the Seattle Majestics have broken the huddle, and they are set. They're coming with two wide out on the right and two in the backfield. That would be Rachel Gore and Air Force Sanderson. Michael Volk under center. Here's the throw. It's a pitch to Rachel Gore off on the right. She's got some room. She is going to be run out of bounds by number 10, Mary Bellini, and it's about a five-yard pickup. So the Majestics get a good run out of Rachel Gore there. They just pitched it off to the right side, and she took it around the corner before being run out of bounds. They're actually going to give her 6 yards on the play, so it brings up a second and four. The Majestics are at the 34-yard line. So now the Majestics break the huddle again. They are looking downfield. They're coming with the same familiar formation there, two wide and two in the backfield. Chicago now has five on the line. And it looks like there's a little misdirection. Crystal Brown with the ball. She's going, and she is going to be wrapped up in the backfield. She ran about 15 yards laterally, couldn't get anything going north to south. So she is going to be dragged down by a plethora of Chicago Force defenders, including Veronica Hernandez. And that's going to bring up a she loses about a yard. So that's going to bring up 2 yards, excuse me, third and six. So Seattle's facing third and six. Seattle's got some great team speed, but there just weren't any holes there on that particular play to be able to get going north to south. So now we'll see what they come out with. It looks like they're going to go with three wide to the right, Crystal Air Force Sanderson in the backfield. And Michael Volk with the pass play. Rachel Gore makes the reception, puts on a couple of moves, but she's going to be tackled by Mary Bellini after a pickup of about two. So it's going to be fourth and four, and the Majestics are still in their own half of the field. So out comes the punting unit. Chicago forces them to essentially a three and out. And the Majestics are going to have to give the ball back now. So we'll see what happens here on this play. This will be the first punt for the Majestics here in 2009 postseason. Gretchen Pitras back to kick it away. And the Chicago Force have a lot of pressure up on that front line. They attempt to block. But she gets the kick away, and it looks like it takes a good Majestics bounce. It bounced at midfield, and it's now rolling all the way down to Chicago's 38. So despite the heavy pressure, Gretchen was able to get that pass away, that kick away. It was a good block by Rachel Gore to buy her the added time she needed, and Chicago now takes over at their own 38-yard line. So they're coming. Chicago is coming out. They're averaging 27 pass attempts per game, and they've already thrown up a few here. They haven't connected with a big play yet, but they do have, it looks like, five wide. And Samantha is in the shotgun formation. So we'll see if they can make something happen here. If she gets it, and it's fair throw, she's going to run. She's got some open space, but Shannon Fitch takes her down at the 46-yard line, just shy of midfield. She gets a good 7 or 8 yards out of that play. And the Majestics were looking past, and the Chicago Force kept it on the ground there. Got a good solid gain out of that. They're averaging over 7 yards a carry, and that's probably one big reason why. When you've got a quarterback that's as mobile and athletic as that, it really opens up your offense. Now they come, and they're in the shotgun again. They're in a bunch formation on the left. It is again, this time it's a direct snap right to number 67, Darcy Leslie. And she is going to wind away for a first down. She gets just a few yards, but it does appear to be enough. So Chicago gets the first down at their own 49-yard line. So now we wait to see what the next formation is. Chicago's back at the line now. And it looks like Sammy Grishace is going to be in the shotgun formation at quarterback. She's got four options out wide, two on either side. And she throws, just in and out of the hands of number 10, Mary Villani. She tried to make a diving catch and ended up knocking it up almost into the waiting defender's arms. That was Crystal Brown. But neither player could come up with the ball. And it falls incomplete, brings up 2nd and 10. So now the Force are back out on the line again. They've got three wides out to the right side and two to the left. They're again going with an empty backfield formation. And here's the snap. Sammy's going to take it and run with it, but she's tripped up at the line by S.A. Sessabasara, another Majestics defensive all-star, and she gets about 1 yard before being tripped up. So the Majestics got some great penetration that time and weren't fooled a second time by that wide-out formation. So that brings up 3rd and 9. The ball is right on midfield. And the Chicago Force are going to try and make something happen so they can keep possession. They're coming out with, again, an empty backfield, and it's actually a very unusual combination. They've got five players down to my right and two to the left. They've only got two people in the offensive line formation. So now they set up the wall. Number 24, Candace Griffin with the ball, and she is wrapped up by Rachel Gore. She comes up a couple of yards shy of the first down, however, so it's going to be 4th and 1. The ball is at the Seattle Majestics 42-yard line, and they're going to go for it. So Chicago is going to try and make something happen here and hold on to it on 4th down. So the Majestics wait anxiously to see what's going to happen. Chicago Force out on the out of the huddle now. They're in the shotgun formation. And here's the snap again, direct snap to number 67. Garrett Pittman tried to wrap up, couldn't do it. She went back the other way, and she is finally taken down again. Rachel Gore, as well as Shannon Fitch, were and Crystal Brown in on the tackle. So Gretchen Pittman looked to have it contained. Garrett Pittman. We look to have it contained for the Seattle Majestics. Number 67, Darcy Leslie, was able to escape her, but she couldn't get enough for the first down. And it's going to be the Majestics ball at their own, looks like, 44-yard line. There's about 2 minutes left in the first quarter, and we are still scoreless in this IWFL divisional round playoff game. So this looks to be every bit as intense and exciting as it was looking on paper. These are two very good teams, with a lot of experience and a lot of explosive power. So now Michael Volk comes out of the backfield, hits Adrian Wilson with a pass, but it goes for about 2 yards, and Majestics are going to have a 2nd and 8. They're still in their own half of the field and looking for some sort of crack in this Chicago defense. Now the Adrian Wilson is going to go out, and Crystal Brown is going to come in for her. Crystal and Adrian are two of the fastest players in the league, and having them both out at wideout gives Seattle some great quickness with their passing game. So far, they haven't been able to convert here against a tough Chicago defense, but we'll see if that changes. Now with two in the backfield, two out on either side, it's going to be given to Crystal Brown on the handoff. She is trying to turn the corner, and it looks like she manages to get a couple of yards before being tackled by number 83, Shannon Tinbrook. There is a flag on the field. Let's see what the call was. I know Crystal was trying to give a stiff arm, but let's see what happened there. And it's going to be a face mask, a personal foul face mask against Chicago. So that's going to go against number 83, Shannon Tinbrook. So Chicago is going to give Seattle some extra yardage there at the end of that tough run. And that's going to add another 15 yards. It's the second personal foul that Chicago's had against them so far today. And they've only had 9 fouls, 9 penalties the entire regular season. So already off to a less than auspicious start for a normally very well-reserved, very well-coached team. They just get out of the first down. They are at the 35-yard line of Chicago and looking to draw first blood here in the game. They give it to Air Force Sanderson, and she plows ahead for a few yards. She's brought down by number 35, Veronica Hernandez. Her nickname, Veronica's, is Minja. Make of that what you will. But she ends up stopping Air Force after just a couple of yards, so it's going to be 2nd and 8. And that might just be the last play of the first quarter. There's about 20 seconds left, and the clock is winding down. We'll see if the Majestics decide to run another play here or just let the quarter expire. And they're at the line. They're down and ready, so it looks like we may have another pass or another play. And now it looks like they're just going to let the clock run out. So at the end of the first quarter, the score is 0-0. Seattle and Chicago are locked in a defensive struggle here. We've had a lot of good hits and a lot of good plays, and there's still 3 quarters of football yet to go. So we will come back. When we come back, Seattle will have the ball at their own 35, or excuse me, at the Chicago 35, and they will be going into the shade, so we'll see if that gives them any advantage. And fans, don't forget the IWFL's National Championship game, which could feature either of these two teams today, depending on what happens coming in the next few weeks. That is going to take place down in Texas in late July. So don't miss out. You can go to IWFLsports.com for more information and to check out the full roster for the 2009 IWFL All-Star Team, which features a plethora of both Chicago Force and Seattle Majestics players, as well as both coaches, head coaches for these two teams. Both Chicago and Seattle had their coaches named the All-Star Team. So it was a pretty, there's no score in the first quarter, and these are two pretty high-scoring teams. Chicago is averaging 33 points a game, Seattle 28 points a game, but so far neither one has been able to crack the other's defense. So here they come again, Seattle with the ball. Michael Volk drops back to pass. She's got Adrian Wilson open on the outside, and Adrian Wilson makes the reception but is brought down by number 10, Mary Valoney. So it's going to be just a few-yard gain there. She picks up about 4 yards, 3 yards, and it's 3rd down and 5. So it's going to be at the 30-yard line. And now Seattle breaks the huddle. They're getting ready. Chicago is waiting to see what formation Seattle's going to come out in. They're making their defensive adjustments now. And it's a pitch to the left to Rachel Gore. She's got some room, and she puts her head down, but Mary Bellini is once again there to make the stop. And she's going to come up about 2 yards shy of the first down. So it's going to put Seattle in a fourth down situation on the Chicago side of the field. So they've got fourth down and two, and we'll see what they decide to do. So the Adrian Wilson, the wide receiver, gets the call from Coach Mike Talley for the Seattle Majestics, and she heads out to relay that to Michael Volk, the quarterback. Both Michael Volk and Adrian Wilson were named to the IWFL All-Star team, and it was actually the second time in 3 years that Michael Volk's been named. So she continues to be an impressive quarterback with a good arm here in Seattle. She's under center now. Fourth down and two. She's going to be looking to pass. And unfortunately, it looks like there was some miscommunication. Adrian turned in. Michael Volk threw outside. And the pass falls incomplete. So the Majestics give it up on fourth down. Chicago will take over at their own 30-yard line. Or excuse me, it's going to be just shy of that. It's going to be at their own 28. So they have first and 10 now in the early part of this second quarter. Neither team's been able to score, but Chicago's going to try and change that. In the shotgun is Samantha Grisafe, and she's got four wide. Now she takes it, and it looks like Heather Gallimore is going to get to it, and then it's a whole host of Majestics piling it on as Samantha would just not go down, and the Majestics finally do wrap her up and bring her down in the backfield for the first sack of this game. And that was just a great defensive effort that just highlighted the team speed that Seattle has. And it's pretty rare. Chicago does not allow many sacks with that strong offensive line that they've got. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens as this game develops. And Sammy is back in the shotgun formation. She's looking around, checking her wideouts. Here comes the call. And she drops back, looks to pass. She's got a woman open in the backfield until Crystal Brown puts the shoulder on number three, Abby Zuby. And Albie was able to pick up about 6 yards on that play. It's going to bring third down and 4 yards to go. Chicago at their 35-yard line. And Sammy was able to connect with Albie coming out of the backfield on that play. And it was a good tackle by Crystal Brown that prevented potentially a touchdown because there was a lot of open field past Crystal Brown. So now they're back in shotgun. It's the handoff. And number 5, Casey Olivas, steps up and just mows down number 24, Candace Griffin. She found a hole in that offensive line, and she made Candace Griffin pay for that one. So there's no gain on that, and it's going to bring up fourth down. So Chicago will once again bring out their punting unit, and another good defensive effort by the Majestics. So we'll see what happens here. And now we're waiting for the snap. The punt is away. It's in over end, but it's kind of short. It bounces at the Chicago or at the Seattle 40, but now it bounces, rolls, and there's a whole host of Chicago force right there to down it. It's going to be down to the Majestics' 27-yard line. So that takes a nice bounce for the Chicago force. And the Majestics will have first and 10 in the sun at their own 27. So here we go, another offensive possession for Seattle. Let's see if they can make something happen here. So Chicago does not give up that many, that type of offensive series is not what Chicago is accustomed to. They've allowed less than five sacks all season, and Seattle was able to get some good pressure there. Now Chicago is the one putting on the pressure. Crystal Sanderson takes it up the center, but number 85 for Chicago, Kimberly Marks, is there to bring it down after just a two-yard gain. So both of these teams defensively are having really good games, and this is just making for a tight, exciting contest. There's some substitutions going on as the heat is no doubt a factor. It was about 80 degrees when we began play. It's probably gotten maybe a few degrees cooler, but it's a nice sunshiny day here and great football weather. So now there's some movement. Oh, and it looks like there's going to be a false start. It remains to be seen who moved first. So the officials are going to work that out. And we will see what happens. It's a false start against Seattle. So that's going to back them up. And we will repeat second down. So Chicago is getting Seattle in a little bit of a hole here. It's second and 13 as they lose five on that penalty. And Chicago is going to see if Seattle can, if they can force Seattle to make a mistake. Now Seattle is out of the huddle. They're under center. They've got two wide to the left. Now there's some motion by Adrian Wilson. A little confusion. They give it off to Crystal Air Force Sanderson. And it looks like she lost the ball, and Chicago is going to recover the ball. It looks like Chicago has the ball. Number 83, Shannon Tenbrook, recovered the fumble at Seattle's 37-yard line. So a costly penalty or a costly turnover there by Seattle. Air Force wasn't able to hold on the ball as she went up the field, and Chicago recovers. Now Chicago comes out, and we'll see if they stick with a traditional play or if they're going to have some more trickery. Sammy is in the shotgun formation. She's got four wideouts and one in the backfield. She takes the snap, looks, throws, and it's through the hands of number 82, Martha Duntuma. She couldn't pull it in, and it's an incomplete pass. Brings up second and 10. And now we will see what Chicago can come up with. They're still probably too far out for a field goal, so they're definitely going to try and obviously put it in the end zone or at least get close enough to where they could strike first and put some sort of points up on the board. They've got three wideouts to the right, two to the left. It's an empty backfield, and Sammy's in the shotgun. This is a formation they obviously like to use a lot. And it's been productive for them so far. She takes the snap, and it's again a run. And number 47, Shannon Fitch, puts her elbow pad or her shoulder pads down, and slips Sammy up end over end. Sammy's a little upset about that. I'm not sure if she's upset at the play call or what, but she's having some words with the coach, trying to figure out what they can do to get this team on the board. Now she's back in the huddle. And we'll see what happens. This Chicago offense is pretty prolific. They average over 400 yards of offense a game. And so this is a hard team to keep contained. We'll see how long Seattle can keep it up. Now she's back under center. She's got four wide. And they're just going to move it straight ahead. The pile pushes forward, and the quarterback keeper gets them a few extra yards. Let's see what it brings up. And it's going to be just short of the first down. So that's going to put them in It's decision time now. They've got fourth down, and Chicago is going to call the timeout. And think about it. So let's see. Actually, they're going to go ahead and measure for it. That's how close it is with that quarterback keeper. So let's see what we get. And the officials measure, and it looks like by the nose of the ball, they get that first down. So Chicago with a first down by the slimmest of margins, but sometimes that's all you need. So Chicago will keep the ball. It's first and 10, and they've got the ball just outside of the red zone. We'll see if the Seattle defense will bend and not break, or if Chicago will end up with the first points of this game. Now Chicago's coming out, and they've got four wide. They're going to come from the shotgun formation, one in the backfield. And Seattle's bringing four wide in the 4-3 formation. It's a quick snap and a pass to number 81, and that is Patricia Harper spun out of bounds, and it looks like she may have a first down. We'll wait to see where the referee spots this. That was a quick snap and a quick play. Adrian Wilson, number 9, with the tackle, and was just able to get her out of bounds, because otherwise that would have been a Chicago touchdown. So we're going to have a first down now. Excuse me, a second down. It looks like they're going to mark it just short. So second and about 3. And the Chicago offense trying to make something happen here, back in shotgun. They give it off to Candace Griffin, and she is met by a wall of Majestics defenders. And she is wrapped up behind the line. She's going to lose a couple of yards on that play. There's pretty much the entire Seattle defense right there to meet her. They were not fooled by some of the fake handoffs and trickery that Chicago has been trying. So Seattle will once again try and hold strong here. It's third down and about 5 yards. Chicago is going to come out to the line now. And it looks like a pretty run-heavy formation. They've got everybody in tight. So let's see what they can make happen here. And they're just going to try and go right ahead and just muffle it. And they get a few. Let's see if it's enough. Underneath that pile of offense and defensive linemen, they're checking to see where the ball is going to be spotted. And it looks like they're going to need, it looks like there's an injury. Chicago has an injured player down. Hopefully, again, nothing too serious. But there's going to be an injury timeout on the field, so both teams, again, down on one knee, hoping that it's nothing serious. And we will find out here in just a minute what the spot on the ball is. It looks like it's going to be enough for a first down. So Chicago is going to have a first down at about Seattle's 11-yard line. They can still get another first down without a touchdown. So the Seattle defense is going to need to see if they can make something happen here. Meanwhile, the trainers are still tending. I can't see exactly who it is that's down from Chicago. It looks like one of the linemen, but I will confirm a number here as soon as I can. So it's a water break for the players on the field as the shadows continue to creep across the field. They're now most of the field in shadow, so that's going to provide some relief from the heat, but it's still a bright, sunny day and a good day for football. So they're still tending to the down player. You never want to try and force somebody to get up too soon. Want to make sure that everybody's okay. And they're stretching her out. She is responsive, so that's always a good sign. And both teams take the opportunity to make some adjustments and some changes. So the Chicago Force on the season, like I said, with averaging 33 points a game, they have 37 touchdowns total and only 2 field goals. So more times than not, they end up with a touchdown. So let's see if that changes here. And it looks like it's number 92 for Chicago. That would be Amanda Mulch, that offensive line all-star. She's walking off on her own power, so that's good. Well, it looks like she's just a little shaken up. And now Sammy's back in the shotgun, four wide. She's going to keep it and take it right up the center of the field. Rachel Gore there to hit her first, and then joined by Steph Nelson and Gretchen Petras. They bring her down after about a five-yard gain. So once again, Sammy Grisafe's mobile legs give Chicago some offense. They're now sitting right at the five-yard line, 5 yards from pay dirt. There's about 5 minutes left in the first half, and our score is 0-0. So we're still looking for that first touchdown. We'll see what happens here. Now Chicago comes out. They have number 24, Candace Griffin, in the backfield. Other than that, Sammy's back in the shotgun with four options on the wideouts. She takes the snap, drops back, looks, and Rachel Gore connects. The catch was made by number 81, Patricia Harper, but before she could even move, Rachel Gore wrapped her up and got her for a loss. That's going to be about a 3 to 4 yard loss on that play. Takes them out to the 8 yard line, so a 3 yard loss on that pass play. It's third down and 7 now. So Chicago, if they don't convert here, it'll be interesting to see if they decide to go for a field goal or just go ahead and try for the touchdown. Right now they're at 3rd and 7. And it looks like it may be a direct snap to number 67, Darcy Leslie. We'll see what she can do. And here it comes in the shotgun. She fakes the step, and she's almost dropped up. And now, finally, the Majestics get there. Gretchen Petras wrapped her up initially, and then Gabe Pittman came in to finish her off. It's, again, a loss on the play. So Chicago is going backwards. They now have a 4th and 15. So probably going to opt for a field goal, but you never can be sure. Like we said, this team opened with an onside kick on their opening kickoff to Seattle. So we'll see what happens here. There's about 3.5 minutes left until halftime, and we're still at 0-0 after a brilliant defensive stand in these last few plays. Chicago looked like they were having their way with Seattle, but Seattle tightened up. Now they're going to go for it. Sammy's under shotgun. She's looking back, throws, and she's got number 82, Martha Dantuma, wide open, and she's going to have a Chicago touchdown. So the Force go up first with about a 17-yard strike from Sammy Grisafe to number 82, Martha Dantuma. So Chicago is now up 6-0 with about 3 minutes remaining in the half. They're coming out, and number 68, Carolyn Lee, is on to try the point after for Chicago. So let's see what happens. The holder will be number 3, Zuby. And the kick is up, and it is good. So Chicago, with the first blood, they are up 7-0 over Seattle. So Seattle will get the ball back here with a few minutes to go before half, and they still have two timeouts. Both teams have two timeouts remaining, so there's plenty of time for them to make something happen. Seattle is going to be going from my left to my right, and they're going to try and answer Chicago's score. So let's see what they can make happen. For the season, Martha Dantuma had 7 touchdowns. She adds her 8th here in the playoffs. And that's just another weapon that talented Chicago offense has for them. So that was Sammy's 8th touchdown pass of the season. And I'm sure she'd like to add a few more here before the game is done. We'll see what the Majestics defense has to say about that. Chicago is now bunched up. They're getting ready to do the kick. The Majestics are back ready to receive. And it doesn't look like it's going to be an onside kick this time. A more straight ahead formation for Chicago. And here comes the kick. It's short. And it bounces around. Crystal Sanderson picks it up at about the Majestics 37 and is able to pick that up and get it. So Chicago was another short kick. I don't know if it was by design or by mistake, but Seattle gets lucky and is able to recover, and they've got some decent field position. So they're just out 3 yards shy of midfield in their own end. And then we'll be back on offense trying to make something happen. Michael Volk under center once again. And she's got Adrian Wilson and Camille Head out to her left. And Rachel Gore and Crystal Sanderson in the backfield. Now there's some movement from Adrian Wilson. A little handoff. Rachel Gore with the delay. And she's going to plow ahead for about 7 yards. Finally brought down by number 35, Veronica Hernandez, and number 48, Jennifer Benson. So, Chicago, old Seattle. And there's about 2 minutes left. We're just approaching the two-minute warning. Our score here is Chicago 7, Seattle nothing. Seattle breaks the huddle once again and is looking to score here. They're going to try and make something happen. It's another running play, Air Force this time, and with a short field, she gets a few yards, but it looks like she's still going to be just shy of that first down marker. So at the two-minute warning, Seattle has a 3rd and 1. And they are in Chicago territory. So the winner of this game will go on to face the winner of Los Angeles and Kansas City. And we will bring you probably a final on that game, assuming there were no other thunderstorm delays as there were earlier today. We'll bring that to you here at halftime of this game, which is quickly approaching. So we'll also try and update you on some other scores. We have a confirmed final, Boston 34 and Dallas 14. So Boston wins at home against a tough Dallas opponent, and that means that we will have a new IWFL champion this year, as Dallas has now been dethroned. So that should be interesting. You'll want to watch out for that. And again, that championship game will be taking place in late July. In Round Rock, Texas. So now we are just waiting for the two-minute warning to be finished, and we will get back to the game. So the Majestics come out, and they've got a 3rd, and it looks like they're going to mark it officially a 3rd and 2. Michael Volk under center. And we'll see what they can make happen. Crystal Sanderson around the side. She busts out into some free space. And she's finally dragged down at the 30-yard line by number 85. That would be Kimberly Marks. But not before Air Force gets a 1st down on the ground. Seattle picking up some much-needed space and room here on the field. So a fresh set of downs. And Seattle is edging closer to equalizing Chicago's score. We may have a pair of touchdowns right before we head to halftime. Now Seattle is back out of the huddle. And they've got Adrian Wilson on the right side and another wideout on the left. And we'll see what they decide to do here. And it looks like they're going to go back to Air Force, but this time that defensive line of Chicago holds strong, and she gets back up to the line of scrimmage, and that's about it. So this offensive-defensive line struggle is shaping up to be a good one, as both teams have had some really, really strong defensive performances here. And it'll be interesting to see if that continues as the game goes on. It looks like Seattle will go ahead and take their second timeout of the half. So with a minute 20 remaining, Seattle has the ball. It's second and 10. But they trail the visiting Chicago Force 7-0. All right. And the hundreds of fans that turned out here in Seattle to watch the game are all doing the YMCA. And we've also got a lot of action going on in the Seattle Majestics TV chat room. That's at livestream.com/Seattle Majestics TV. And we are streaming the game live there as well. So you can hear my beautiful voice and watch what's going on at the same time if you'd like. And everybody takes a second to get some water as the temperature is still pretty hot, and especially for Seattle. Surprisingly, it's not raining here. It's beautiful blue skies. And the Seattle Majestics all in black and red. The Chicago Force also with the black and red, although they have their white road jerseys. And these two teams get ready to go at it again. So Seattle is out, Volk under center. And she drops back to pass. There's some pressure from the side. And she looks for Crystal Brown downfield, but it's just underthrown. Can't make that connection. So it goes back to 3rd and 10. And Crystal Brown just unable to make that completion. So it'll bring up 3rd down for Seattle. And Crystal Brown comes out. Camille Head comes in. So Seattle will go back at it. They are at just shy of the Chicago 30. They're at about the 32-yard line. And trying to equalize Chicago's touchdown. Here's Volk under center. She takes the snap, looks, throws, and Camille Head in triple coverage just couldn't come down with it off her fingertips. So Seattle will face a 4th and 10. And that Chicago defense holds strong. So we'll see if they decide to go for it or what they want to do here. And it looks like they're going to go. Crystal Brown comes in, and Adrian Wilson comes out. And now it looks like Chicago is going to take a timeout, and there's about a minute remaining in the half. So we'll see what they decide to do there. And coming up at halftime, we'll have the recap of some of the other games that went on today. We had Pittsburgh visiting the D.C. Divas. And we had, of course, Los Angeles and Kansas City, the other game going on here in the Western Conference. And then, of course, Boston beating beating Dallas earlier today, 34-14. That game already a final and confirmed. So a lot of action around the IWFA. And we'll update you on the scores here in just a few moments. Now Chicago and Seattle try and strategize and figure out what they're going to do for the last minute here in the half. And Seattle getting ready to try another offensive play. Hopefully they can make something work. They've had two straight incompletions, and they've got 4th down and 10. So here they come. Under center is Michael Volk. She looks. The pass is to the outside for Rachel Gore. And she's going to make some positive yards, but it's not going to be nearly enough. She comes up about 5 yards shy. And she is tackled by number 17, Darlene Hall. So Chicago will take over at their own about 29-yard line. So 55 seconds remain in the half, and Chicago is up 7-0. We'll see what kind of adjustments these two teams make here at halftime. Seattle, this is not the first time that they've gone into the half down, but they've made some good second-half adjustments already this season. We'll see if they can keep that up And, of course, Chicago is going to come out and try and increase their lead, potentially use some of those unorthodox formations that they've already shown us earlier in this game. So it should be a fun second half, and I'm sure it'll be just as exciting as this first half has been. So now Sammy is under center. She's got five wide. They're in the empty backfield, just not in the shotgun formation. And she is just going to go ahead and kneel down, take a knee, and that'll get us close to halftime. They'll probably need to do one more play, and that should take us to halftime. So with about 43 seconds left, the clock continuing to run, and the game clock is just about in sync. And it looks like we have word now, confirmation, Kansas City won. They beat Los Angeles. So the winner of this game, Chicago and Seattle, will face Kansas City for the IWFL Western Conference Championship and the right to go to that national championship in Round Rock, Texas. The final score on that Kansas City game was 19-14. They are victorious over the Amazons. And that brings us to halftime. So the teams will go into half, and the score at halftime is the visiting Chicago Force 7, Seattle nothing. We'll try and get a score for you, a confirmation on a couple of the other games that happened. We already confirmed that Dallas lost, the defending national champion Dallas Diamonds lost to Boston. They're in Boston, 34-14. So that I'm sure the folks in Boston are enjoying tonight. They're going to celebrate. And we will try and confirm who won the D.C.-Pittsburgh game. Last I heard, D.C. was up quite handily, but we'll see if Pittsburgh was able to mount some kind of comeback there. And then we're going to have a few minutes here. We're going to take a break here for a few minutes during halftime, but we should be back in less than 20 minutes to continue this game and bring you the second half of this IWFL Western Conference Divisional Playoff game. And let's see if we have a score. The final there is going to be Washington, D.C. Devos, 27, and Pittsburgh, 17. So D.C. will host Boston in the Eastern Conference Championship. And if, depending on what happens here, if Chicago wins, they will travel to Kansas City in a showdown of two division rivals that split their series during the season, one win apiece. And if Seattle is able to score more than Chicago in the second half, then we'll host Kansas City in 2 weeks for the Western Conference. So, again, we will be back in just about 18 minutes for the start of the second half. And right now, we'll leave you. The score is Chicago 7 and Seattle nothing.
Don't turn your back on me. I won't be
All right. We are just about ready to get started once again. The teams are coming back out onto the field, getting ready for the second half. And we will be ready for the second half here. And it looks like we're going to have kickoff in about 1 minute. So the Chicago Force will be receiving the ball to start the second half. And they have the lead. It's 7-0. And they're going to try and add to it here in about 30 seconds. So again, to recap some of the scores from around the IWFL's Tier 1, you had Dallas being beaten by Boston, 34-14. The DC Divas continued their unbeaten streak as they beat the Pittsburgh Passion, 27-17. And over here in the other game with the Western Conference, it was Kansas City coming from behind to beat the Los Angeles Amazons 19-14. So Kansas City awaits the winner of tonight's matchup, either the Force or the Majestics. So the Chicago Force are out there on the field now getting ready to receive to start this second half. And we will be bringing it all to you here. You can listen to my wonderful commentary. And if you'd like to watch it, you can also watch it at livestream.com/Seattle Majestics TV. And here we go. The crowd is pumped. The teams are ready. And we are going to kick off to begin the second half here. Crystal Brown for the Seattle Majestics will be kicking off. And the Force are back to receive. They've got Albie Zuby back to receive the kickoff. Here we go. And Crystal Brown comes forward, and it's a deep kick. And it's going to be number 10, Mary Valenti, with the who actually takes the kickoff. She fields it into the 30 and winds it up the center of the field, gets about 7-8 yards before being tackled by Camille Head and Air Force Crystal Sanderson. So here comes Chicago. This Majestics defense will try and hold them on the first possession of this second half. On the center, they've got Sammy Grissett, and she's got four options, two on either side out wide, as well as having number 24, Candace Griffin, in the backfield. She takes the snap, and it's a handoff to Candace Griffin, and she is wrapped up right at the line of scrimmage. Gail Pittman got a hold of the ankle and wouldn't let go, and Heather Gallimore was also in pursuit. So she gets right back to the line of scrimmage, but nothing more. It brings up a 2nd and 10, and Chicago has the ball at their own 38-yard line. Now Sammy's coming back in with the play from the Chicago sideline. She's talking to her women in the huddle, and they break the huddle. Sammy comes out in shotgun. She's got four wideouts, three to her left, one to her right. And we'll see what she can make happen there. She takes the snap, drops back, looks, throws, and she's got number 82. That would be Martha Bentuma open at the 49-yard line. It's going to be enough for a first down. So number 82, Martha, the same receiver that Sammy went to for the touchdown, the lone touchdown in this game. It's enough for Chicago first down, and they are just shy of the midfield point, still working in their own half. They break the huddle. Sammy once again in shotgun. And here she comes. She's got Candace Griffin in the backfield with her. She fakes a pass and then looks. Has number 81, Patricia Harper, wide open, and Rachel Gore wraps her up after about a 5-yard gain. So that'll bring up 2nd and 5. And now we are waiting to see what they will come up with next. They come out with three to the right, two wide receivers to the left. It's again that empty backfield. Sammy back in shotgun. And she's calling the play now. She takes the snap, blitz, and she's going to run it. She is straight up the center of the field, and Rachel Gore and S.A. Sessa Basaya drive her down hard, but she is going to get the first down. So she runs for about 10 yards. Let's see what happens here. It's again a first down. Chicago is at the Seattle 38, and they're back again in shotgun. So Sammy taking a look, reading the defense. The Majestics come out with four on the line, and she drops back, looks, and she's going to overthrows her receiver, Abby Zuby, number three. And she can't bring it in, so it's going to be a second down for Chicago. The Majestics make some defensive adjustments, and they're going to try and slow down the Chicago offense here. Sammy bringing the play back in from the Chicago sideline, and now they'll break the huddle. The Majestics wait in anticipation. She's got two wideouts on either side and Candace Griffin in the backfield. And here they come. She takes the snap and immediately throws it to number 81. And she is wrapped up by Rachel Gore right about as she makes the catch. So Patricia Harper was not able to get more than a yard or two after the catch. And it's going to bring up a third down. She picks up about 7 yards, so third and three. We'll see what they like to do. Chicago obviously prefers the pass. They pass nearly 30 times a game, and for the season they have the 50% completion percentage. So they do it, and they do it well. Now it looks like Sammy is actually going to be out on the right, split out with the wide receivers. So number three, Albi Zuby, is going to be in under the shotgun. And she takes a snap, and she's going to run it. And she is going to get pounded down. Rachel Gore hit her after she gained about five, but it is enough for a Chicago first down. So that big offensive line of Chicago is opening up a few holes, and Albi Zuby was able to run straight up the center and pick up enough for the first down. Now it looks like Sammy Christoph is going to be the quarterback again, back under center, and we'll see what happens. They trade positions. Albi is now out at the wideout, and Candace Griffin, the lone running back there. Now the Majestics look. Sammy throws. She's got number 81 open, and it's going to be a Chicago touchdown. Number 81, Patricia Harper, just managed to break away from the Majestics, and she's in the end zone for the second Chicago touchdown. So the score right now, with about 10 minutes remaining in the third quarter, is Chicago 13 and Seattle nothing. They're going to see about going for the extra point, and Albi Zuby will be the holder. And it looks like kicking for the extra point will be number 68, Carolyn Lee. So we'll see if she can convert her second point after attempt. Here's the snap, and the kick is up. It is good. And so the Chicago Force go up by two touchdowns. It's now Chicago 14, Seattle nothing. So Seattle will have to find some way to answer this Chicago team that has a two-touchdown advantage on the road. But if this crowd has anything to say about it, they are going to do everything they can to get the Majestics into this game and give them some emotional support. They are loud and they are proud. We'll see what happens here. Seattle is already lined up for the kick. They've got Crystal Brown and Adrian Wilson in the back to receive. And now, Kellen Lee will be coming out to kick off for the Chicago Force. So Chicago is able to convert their opening possession into points. And now Seattle is going to try and answer. And here we go. We'll see what happens. Kellen Lee looking to make that kick. Chicago spreads out on their own 35-yard line, the ball at the 40. And here's the kick. It's up, and it goes right to Heather Gallimore, who loses the ball, and it looks like Chicago may have recovered, and they do. Heather Gallimore could not keep hold of that ball. It was spinning end over end, and she muffed it, and Chicago recovers. They are in Seattle territory at the 49-yard line. So that Chicago kicking game comes back to haunt the Majestics yet again. So Chicago is back out on the field, and we'll see what they can make happen here. The chance of defense come up from the Seattle crowd. We'll see what happens here. It's an empty backfield. Sammy is in the shotgun formation. We'll see if she decides to run it or if she's going to pass it this time. She has been very good at both, not only in this game, but also in the season. She's back to pass, and it looks like she's got the completion just over Rachel Gore to number 82. And that would be Martha Dantuna again. It's a big gain. It gets them all the way down into the Seattle red zone. They're at the 14-yard line. Adrian Wilson for the Majestics ended up making that tackle as Rachel Gore was just over her outstretched fingertips. And so Martha Dantuma comes up with another big reception, showing why she is an all-star here. Now Candice Griffin and Sammy Griffith back in the backfield for the Force. They throw, and this time it is Crystal Brown wrapping up number 82, Martha Dantuma. Excuse me, it's 81, Patricia Harper with the catch. And that nets them a few yards, so it looks like it's going to be a second down and about 5 yards to go. The ball is at the 10-yard line, so we'll see what happens. They are just knocking on the door once again for another touchdown, and they've again gone with that empty backfield set, but this time they've got Abby Zuby in under the correct quarterback position. She tries to run, but Gretchen Petras and Casey Rivas have other ideas. They wrap her up in the backfield, and they hit her hard. So it's going to bring up a 3rd and 6. But Chicago doing very well with both the passing and rushing games, and they're having a lot of success here to open the second half. Abby on the season is not afraid to throw either. She's got 7 touchdowns through the air and 9 touchdowns on the ground, as well as another 2 receiving. So she is a triple threat, to be sure. And now she's going to be under center again. And we've got, it looks like they're going to push Candice Griffin out to the outside. So again, an empty backfield set up in the shotgun for Chicago. And she takes it and is going to try and run. Now she's going to try and throw. She's got 82, Martha Dantuna, waiting right outside the goal line, makes an easy reception and steps inside for Chicago's 3rd touchdown. So Chicago now up 20-0. And Seattle is going to have to find some way to solve this situation here. Because Chicago is coming out and looking very good to start off this second half. Now Abby Zuby is going to hold, and number 68, Carolyn Lee, is going to try her 3rd point after. Here's the snap. It's down, and it is good with plenty of distance, and Chicago takes a 21-0 lead over the Seattle Majestics. So let's see what Seattle can do to answer. As we've got about 7.5 minutes left here in the third quarter, and Chicago is in control here, 21-0. So this Seattle crowd still making noise, still trying to get pumped up here and trying to give the Majestics the lift they need to get back in this game. Now the Chicago Force are coming out, and the sun is going down. It's getting a little bit cooler here. We'll see if that provides some benefit to either team. Seattle's going to try and hold on to this kick. They ended up muffing the last kick and giving Chicago excellent field position. So let's see what they decide to do here. And it looks like we're going to have a different kicker, number 10, Mary Valoney. Looks to be kicking this one off instead of Carolyn Lee, who had kicked off the last several Chicago kicks. So we'll see what happens here. And Matt, once again, they try the sneak, and they have Carolyn Lee send us the little floater. And this time it is wrapped up, and the Majestics keep possession. So we'll see what happens here. Seattle comes out, and they will try to get some offense going here. It was number 82 for Seattle, Jasmine Arreola, that came up with that ball. So now Michael Volk and the rest of this Majestics offense are going to try to get something going here. And answer Chicago, as Chicago has scored now on their first two possessions of this second half. So here you go, the Majestics break the huddle, and they come out now. They come out in that familiar two wide, two back. They look, and here's the throw. Camille Head wins the catch. And now they're going to wave off the catch as the referee appeared to be taking Chicago, the Chicago defender's cue there, and they decide to wave off the what appeared to be a reception. So now it's going to be 2nd and 10, Seattle. And it looks like we've got an injury player down on the now for Seattle, it's number 2, downtown Crystal Brown. And so we'll take an injury timeout here. And the teams will try to get some water and go down to one knee here and hope that it doesn't look like it's too bad. It looks like maybe a pulled hamstring or something of that nature that we will update you once we know for sure. So once again, fans, don't forget, in Round Rock, Texas, here just about a month. It's the IWFL National Championship. Next week is the Conference Championships, and that's going to be in the East, D.C., hosting their Boston rivals. And Crystal Brown is up and limping off the field on her own power, so you never like to see somebody hurt, but it does appear that she's able to walk off on her own, which is good. And then over here in the Western Conference, the Western Conference Championship will be Kansas City either traveling here to Seattle or hosting Chicago in what would be an exciting rubber match between two tough divisional opponents. And both teams they split the regular season series, Kansas City and Chicago did. And now it's like Rachel Gore's got a hole in the middle. She's going at the 20, at the 10. Nobody's got a catch her. Rachel Gore puts it in the end zone from midfield. And the Majestics are back in this game. They're on the field, they're on the board. And it's now 21-6. Seattle will not be shut out. That's some explosive speed from Rachel Gore. And that's what she's known for. So Seattle finally gets on the field. And maybe they've figured something out here. It's going to be interesting to see what happens as this game progresses. We've still got 7 minutes left in this third quarter, and anything can happen. So be sure to stay tuned, sports fans, and we've got an exciting game for you. So now they're calling in some of the players. It looks like they may opt to go for two and neglect the kicking game, but we'll see what happens. Now the Majestics come out to some Michael Jackson music, a little homage to the King of Pop, and they are going to go for two. They're not going to kick. They get the snap off, and here we go. It's outside, and Adrian Wilson converts. Michael Volk put up a floater, and Adrian came down with it. It's 2 points, and the Majestics cut Chicago's lead to 21-8, and the fans, of course, are even louder than they were before. They are ecstatic. So Seattle finally figures out the Chicago defense. It took some great blocking by the offensive line and the speed work of Rachel Gore, but they have put some points on the board. We'll see if they can continue. And for those of you who would like to see some of the action I'm describing in great, glorious detail, you can go over to livestream.com/Seattle Majestics TV and check it out. Courtesy of Clearwire, we are streaming the game live for free. And you can listen to my velvety voice and enjoy the game while you watch it there on Seattle Majestics TV. So here is Crystal Brown with a big kick. It's going to be fielded by number 10, Mary Valone, at her own 30, and she's wrapped up by Angie Andrew at her 32. So the Majestics with another strong defensive showing there, and they're going to come out and try and shut down this Chicago offense that has been very good as of late. So Chicago comes out with a 1st and 10 at their own. They're going to mark it at the 31. And they've got Sammy under center. And they've also got Alvy Zuby back there with her. Otherwise, they've got 3 wideouts to her right and 1 to her left. She's in shotgun. She takes the snap. Alvy comes out. And they go for the long pass. Number 82 is stripped by Crystal Brown. She got the pass, but the ball stripped by Crystal Brown, and the Majestics come away with that ball. So it's Majestics ball, and they're inside Chicago territory, and this team is revitalized. Crystal Brown, the injured Majestics from earlier, Majestics player from earlier, shook that off. She's still limping just a little bit, but she is out there, and she is making an impact. So the Majestics have it right about the 35-yard line of Chicago. And Michael Volk now out with the play call. She's going to tell her team, and Chicago is going to try and do something to stop them. We'll see what happens. Now they've broken the huddle, and they're coming out. It looks like they've got 2 wide and 2 in the backfield. The Chicago line with 4 people on the line. And a fake handoff, they give it back to Rachel Gore, and this time, not so much magic. She gets a yard or two, and she is wrapped up by number 53, Keisha Taz Brooks. So this team, the Seattle team, will try and continue to make something happen here with the running game. That's been pretty much their bread and butter for the season. But like I said earlier, they have a lot of speed on the wideouts, and they do like to surprise teams, get them into a rhythm running, and then pop off a good pass. Michael Volk has the arm, and she's dangerous from just about anywhere in this area. So we'll see what happens here. She's under center, drops back, looks the pass. Here's the throw, caught by number 4, Debbie Golnick, and wrapped up right away. That was number 83 for the Chicago Force, Shannon Tenbrook, with the tackle. And it's going to be 3rd down and 4 for Seattle here at the inside the 30-yard line. It's about the 28 of Chicago. So a crucial third down coming up here. We've still got about 4.5 minutes to go in this third quarter, and Seattle is trying to cut into Chicago's lead even more. We have 2 touchdowns by Chicago to open the second half, and Seattle answered right back with one of their own. They're going to try and score 2 in a row here now. And they have a torrential goal who's putting the move on number 85, Kimberly Marks for Chicago. Takes her down, but not before she gets enough for the first down. She got about 8 yards out of that run right up the center, and it's going to be first and 10 for Seattle at the 22-yard line of Chicago, so just outside that red zone. Whatever happens, you can be sure that whoever moves on is going to definitely be battle-tested and ready to take on Kansas City. These are 2 great teams going at it, and neither team obviously wants to give an inch. So we'll see what happens here. Michael Volk under center, 2 wide, 2 in the back. And they give it to Air Force Crystal Sanderson right up the middle, and she gets about 4 yards before being met by Kimberly Marks once again, number 85 for Chicago, with that tackle. So it's going to bring up 2nd and 4. She got 6 yards, and they are inside the red zone once again. So Chicago is going to try and come up with an answer to this revitalized Majestics offense. The Majestics break the huddle now. They've got big number 75, Tony Carroll, at center. And Michael Volk under center. This time they've got Casey Remus in as a blocker. She leads the way, and Rachel Gore is still going, but there's some flags on the play. She's brought down after a gain of about 5 yards, but we'll have to see what that flag is. There's a flag on the play, so let's watch. And it looks like it's going to be offsides on Chicago. So they got some jumping there on Chicago. That's going to go ahead and give the Majestics a choice here as far as the play. And let's see what they decide to do. It's a 5-yard penalty. They're going to replay 2nd down. So they are at the 18 of Chicago, and it's going to be 2nd and 1. And we'll see what goes here. And as Heather Gallimore checks into the game, and Michael Volk gets the play call from the sidelines. Now it looks like there's some more, personnel changes. Heather Gallimore was going to come in. She's back out now. And Michael Volk sends Tony Carroll up to the line as the rest of the Majestics break the huddle there. With 2.5 minutes left in this third quarter, they have a 2nd and 1, down 21-8 to the visiting Chicago Force. Michael Volk fakes the handoff, gives it to Rachel Gore. She's got some new life. She's still on her feet, and she is finally wrapped up and brought down at the Chicago 6-yard line. So she continues to have a good night, and she gets a 1st and goal for Seattle. So now Camille Head and Adrian Wilson check into the game for Seattle, and they will try and provide some fresher legs to see if they can't put it in the end zone a 2nd time here in this third quarter. There's still 2 minutes left, and Camille Head is out wide on the left, Adrian Wilson on the right, Volk on the center. She looks, she passes, she's got Adrian Wilson, and it's broken up. Some excellent pass defending by Mary Valaney, number 10 for Chicago. Adrian went up and almost had a touchdown, but Mary Valaney was able to knock it out of her hands at the last second. So excellent Chicago defense, and the Majestics are denied. It's going to be 2nd and goal. There's a lot of noise on both sides of the field. Chicago has quite a few fans that made it over here for the game. And Seattle, of course, with a home field advantage, their fans are definitely noisy, and they want to see another touchdown here by Seattle. So here's a pitch outside to Rachel Gore. She is running with some good blocking, runs into her own player, unfortunately, and they're knocked down. Now there's some scuffling going on after the player. There's a flag. It looked like Rachel Gore was knocked down and then tried to get back up, and we're going to have to sort out exactly what took place there. And there was some good blocking, but it looks like number four, Debbie Golnick, was not able to get out of the way, and Rachel Gore just ran into her. We've got a personal foul, a face mask on Chicago, so that's going to definitely give Seattle an advantage there. So let's see if that's the call that stays there. It appears it will be. And that is some discussion by the referees again. I'm not sure what the discussion is, but Seattle is definitely ready to go. And it's an automatic first down. It's half the distance to the goal. So Seattle should have the ball on about the 3-yard line, if I'm not mistaken. And they will have a fresh set of downs to work with as well. So hopefully Seattle can capitalize on this situation. They've got some great field position here, and they've worked hard to get it. So let's see if they can finish it off and put the ball in the end zone. There's still a minute and a half left in this third quarter, and our score is Chicago 21, Seattle 8. Let's see what they do. It's going to be placed at just shy of the 2-yard line, and the Majestics have come in. They've got Rachel Gore in the backfield as well as Casey Rivas, and here's the pitch from Michael Volk, and Rachel Gore takes it into the end zone for her second touchdown of the game, and the Majestics fans are going wild. It's 14-21. Chicago still has the lead, but these last 10 minutes have been a real momentum swing in favor of Seattle. So here we go. With a minute 20 left in the third quarter, the Majestics are down now by just a touchdown, and they are really, really excited about it now, obviously. And a lot more energy on this team than there was 10 minutes ago. They are going to come out and go for the point after here. Crystal Brown, downtown Crystal Brown, on to attempt the point after. Rachel Gore will hold. And let's see what they can do here. Here's the snap. No, they're going to fake it. They're going to fake it. And she overthrew Gretchen Petras. Tried the two-point conversion and just overthrew her receiver. So the score remains Chicago 21 and Seattle 13. And now Seattle will kick it off. The lights have come up. It's dusky here, but there's still a lot of blue sky and good weather. And for those of you who'd like to see what I'm talking about, you can go to livestream.com/Seattle Majestics TV. You can listen to me and watch the game at the same time and see it all take place here. So these two teams are fighting it out for the right to meet Kansas City in the Western Conference Championship. That'll take place in 2 weeks, either in Kansas City or here in Seattle, depending on the outcome of this game. Crystal Brown is back for Seattle now, ready to kick off. And we've got a third quarter to finish up here. Don't go anywhere. Let's see. Crystal Brown with the kick, and it is good, high, and over end. Fielded by Albie Zuby at the 30. She's out to about the 40. And written down by number 82, Jamariola Jazzy, to her friends. By the Seattle Majestics. And now, Sally Griffith comes back out under center. She is going to lead this Chicago team down the field, see if they can't come up with another touchdown. They've seen their 21-point lead shrink to just 7 points here in the last 9 minutes or so. And she's got four wide and one in the backfield there, Bialbi Zubi, in the backfield with her. From the shotgun, she takes a snap, plants, looks, throws, and she has number 82, Martha Tantuma, open at the 49. So she's got another reception there, and it's going to be just shy of the first down. So it's going to be second down and less than a yard. And it looks like Chicago has called a timeout. Excuse me, they're going to go ahead and, Chicago has called a timeout. Excuse me, no, it's going to be an official measurement. The officials are a little indecisive as far as their signaling here. So let's see what it's going to be. They're going to call for a measurement. It's going to have to go all the way to the other side of the field. And we will find out if Chicago converted on a first down on that pass play. Gotcha. So we'll see if Sammy Grisafi's pass was enough for that first down. Let's take a look. And it's inches short, so Chicago is going to have a second down to work with. We've got 34 seconds, and they're measuring and keeping them on the deadly to make sure that they get the placement right there on the field. So after a little bit of a delay, everybody gets a chance to take a breather. And we will get started here with a second and 10. Chicago has the ball on their 49-yard line. Excuse me, not second and 10, second and 1. And this crowd is loud and trying to do everything they can to give the Majestics a boost. Chicago, on the other hand, being cheered on by a handful of dedicated fans on their sideline. And they're taking their time. Sammy Grisafi is going to call the play and try and figure out what they want to do next. And it looks like they're going to go ahead and just let the third quarter wind down. And so now we've got the fourth quarter coming up. 15 minutes of football left. And our score is Chicago 21 and Seattle 14, going into the fourth quarter here in the IWFL Divisional Conference playoff game. So let's see what happens. And everybody's taking a deep breath. They've got their fingers in the air, four fingers in the air for the fourth quarter. And this is definitely going to come down to the wire. It's going to be another great IWFL playoff game, just like some of the ones earlier today. In case you haven't heard, the Dallas Diamonds were defeated by the Boston Militia. That was 34-14. Pittsburgh defeated by the DC Devos, 27-17. And Kansas City was able to come back and beat the Los Angeles Amazons there in Kansas City, 19-14. So just this game remains to be decided there in the IWFL's top division. Now Chicago breaks the huddle. They're coming out with Grisafi on their center. She's going to have a wide out, five wide, empty backfield. And she's got three to the right, two to the left. And the Majestics will see what they can do to respond. So here we go. The fourth quarter is underway. And the Majestics crowding the line, getting ready to come across. And they're pushing. And Sammy Grisafi finally rolls around to her right and gets the first down. So she gets that first down on the quarterback keeper. And another rushing play for her. On the season, she's got some seven first downs, six touchdowns, including one run of 20-plus yards. So she's averaging just about 22 yards a game. And whether it's those short quarterback keepers that get the first down or those long plays up the center, she is deadly both with her arm and her legs. Now she's got two wide outs on either side and one in the backfield. It looks like Candace Griffin. So now Gasafi with the shotgun pass. She gets it off to number 81, who shakes off a tackle, shakes off two tackles, and is finally ridden out by Gretchen Petras at the Seattle 20-yard line. That was Patricia Harper, and a couple of Majestics tried to make the play, tried to make the tackle, but were shrugged off. So Chicago back on the run there, going towards the goal line. There's about 14 minutes left, and they are 20 yards from pay dirt. Excuse me, they mark it officially at the 22. So now Sammy is back in the shotgun. And the Majestics will see what they can do to contain this potent Chicago offense. She takes the snap, and she's going to take it right up the center. And she is wrapped up by Shannon Fitch after getting close to a first down. We'll see where they spot it. So it looks like they're going to go ahead and mark it short of the first down. Nope, now they've changed their minds. They want a first down. So it's going to be a first down for Chicago off of the run by Sammy Gasafi. So now she's back again in the shotgun, empty backfield. She's got five options. We'll see what they can do with them. Chicago has the first and 10 at the 11-yard line, so they can get a first down without getting a touchdown. Sammy takes it, keeps it again, and she is wrapped up by Adrian Wilson. That picks up about 7 yards. So she is going to bring it to the, looks like the 4-yard line of Seattle. And Sammy Gasafi getting the call from the sidelines, back into the huddle now as the Majestic defense waits to see what's going to be thrown at him next. She again is in an empty backfield setup, and five wide, three to her right, two to her left. We'll see what Sammy can do here. She's going to keep it again and stays behind her blocking, but this time Gail Pittman and Gretchen Petras wrap her up. She gets back to the line of scrimmage, maybe a few inches, but it was not much, and it's going to be third down now for Chicago, third and about three yards to go to pay dirt. And let's see what the Majestics defense can do to stop them. They're going to make some adjustments here. We'll see if it's enough. There's about 12 minutes remaining in the game. The clock is running. And we'll see if Chicago could put a touchdown on the board here. That put a lot of pressure on Seattle, although they did score two touchdowns in about 9 minutes. So we'll see what happens. They are going to come with a backfield setup. It is going to be number 67 for the Force. That's Darcy Leslie, and she tries to get around, but she can't get around the Majestics defense. She's brought down after about a 1-yard gain, so it's going to be fourth down for the Force. And it's a question here, do you want to go for the touchdown? Do you want to try and just put some points up and kick a field goal? We'll see what they decide to do. So now Sammy Gasafi is back in, calling the plays, and let's see what happens here. Now there's some discussion from the officials. They've blown the whistle, and it's going to be a timeout by Chicago. So they're going to take a timeout and think about it, try and decide what they want to do. Our score is Chicago 21, Seattle 14. And there's 11 minutes left in this game. So it's coming down to the wire here. and Chicago is trying to make every play count. And so here comes some changes for Chicago. They're bringing a bunch of players in, a bunch of players out, and getting some last-second coaching there in the huddle, trying to design a play that will get them into the end zone. So Chicago on a mission trying to get back to the national championship game. They represented the Eastern Conference last year in the national championship and lost a nail-biter to the Dallas Diamonds. But Dallas was eliminated earlier today. So if Chicago manages to get back to the championship game, they're not going to see Dallas. We'll see what happens. Now it's a shotgun. Albie Zuby in the back. She throws, and it is intercepted. It's intercepted in the end zone by number four, Debbie Corbett. She brings it out to the 15-yard line. She just stepped right in front of Albie Zuby's pass and made that completion, or the interception. I'm so excited I can barely even think straight. The Majestics have the ball once again at their own 15-yard line, and Chicago, after a good offensive drive, comes up with nothing. So we'll see what the Majestics can do to try and tie the game up. This Majestics crowd is loud, and they are loving every minute of this game. If you'd like to see what they're seeing, go to livestream.com/Seattle Majestics TV, and you can hear it and see it as it happens. Michael Vick now hands off to Air Force Crystal Sanderson, and she is met at the line by number 35. That's Veronica Ninja Hernandez, and she is wrapped up for no gain. Now they bring in Rachel Gore. Rachel has both of Seattle's touchdowns tonight, and she is just a touchdown machine even during the regular season. So we'll see if they decide to go to Rachel Gore or if they go with one of their other weapons. Now the Chicago defense is adjusting. Seattle comes out with two wide and two in the back. They go to Rachel Gore. It's a run out to the right side, and she is going to come around the corner for about 5 yards before she's met by a bunch of different Force players. Leading the way is number 10, Mary Bellini, and number 67, Darcy Leslie. So they have the tackle there. It brings up a third, and they're going to call it third and six. So we'll see if Seattle can get a first down here. And now the play comes in from the Seattle sidelines, and they will try and figure out what they can do to convert on this third down and six. There's about 9 minutes left, but that play clock is winding down. It's about 7, 6, 5, so we'll see what happens if they can get down and get that snap off. And they just get it off in time. Now Seattle steps up. The pass is complete to number 4, Gornick, and number 85, Kimberly Marks, for the Chicago Force, brings her down. That is enough for a first down. It's about 8 yards on that completion. So it looked like it might have had some trouble getting the playoff to begin with, but once they got that snap off, they were able to convert that first down. So let's see what happens here. Now Goldick, who caught that first down, is going to go out, and Camille Head is going to replace her. Camille, not only a player, she's also an owner of the Seattle Majestics, along with number 13, Heather Gallimore. Gallimore, of course, one of Seattle's 2009 IWFL All-Stars. Now here is some confusion. They try to run a little trickery there, but Chicago doesn't bite. And the run up the center by Rachel Gore is taken for a gain of about 2 yards. So Rachel Gore, a little roughed up on the pole as she ran into a wall of Chicago Force defenders, but she shakes it off and remains in the game. Downtown Krista Brown comes in for Adrian Wilson, and now Michael Volk is going to talk it over and figure out what play she wants to run. The Majestics break the huddle, and they come out with two wide, two in the back. And here is the play. It's going to be a short gain by Crystal Sanderson, a run off the right side, brought down by number 53, Keisha Brooks. So that brings up third and four. Seattle once again finds himself in a third down situation. They are at their own 32-yard line, and they are driving, but the clock keeps on running with all of these runs. So there's about 7 minutes left in this game. And Seattle is going to go ahead and talk it over in the huddle. Now Tony Carroll, big number 75 for the Majestics, comes out to the ball. The Majestics break their huddle and send two out wide to the left and two in the backfield. Michael Volk looks to pass, and she's got Camille Head, who gets rocked by number 83, Shannon Pembrook, and she was not able to make that completion. So it is fourth and four, and the Majestics are going to have to decide what they want to do. And it looks like they will be punting. So Gretchen Pitras is going to go ahead and punt for the Seattle Majestics. There's 6 minutes and 43 seconds left to go. And Chicago is clinging to a 7-point lead. They will get the ball back. The ball right now is at the Majestics 32. And number three, Ivy Zuby, is back at her own 30 to receive for the Force. The punt is away, and it's short, and it bounces. Abby Zuby's going to let it go, and it's going to end up rolling right about to the Chicago 30, where Adrian Wilson downs it. So the Force take over at their own 30-yard line, first and 10 with 6.5 minutes left to go in the game. They have a 7-point lead, but you know they'd love to add to that and give themselves some breathing room. And Debbie Gormick intercepted the last pass by Abby Zuby. We'll see if the Majestics can come up with a turnover on this defensive series. And don't forget, win or lose, the playoffs go on, and the next game is going to feature Kansas City and either Chicago or Seattle. That's going to be in 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks after that, so a month away in Round Rock, Texas, the IWFL National Championship game. Here's the pass on the outside, and Chicago's got the ball at the 30, the 20, the 10, and she is not going to be brought down. It's going to be number 81, Patricia Harper, with a touchdown, a quick strike from Sammy Grisafi, and the Chicago Force are up 27-14. So Chicago goes up with a quick strike there, and we'll see what Seattle does to try and respond. So here we go. The point after attempt by number 68, Carolyn Lee, and we'll see what goes here. Abby Zuby holding. Here's the snap, and the kick is up, and it is good. So the Chicago Force 28 and Seattle 14 with about 6 minutes left to go in the game. We'll see what Seattle does to respond. They're going to need to do something quick, because they're now two scores down. The game was 7-0 at halftime, and in the last 25 minutes of gameplay, we have had 5 touchdowns. And it's been an exciting, fun game to watch. And both of these teams have put on quite a show and proven why they are both two of the best teams in the IWSL. Kansas City is going to have their hands full regardless of who moves on here. And now the fans react, trying to get even louder, urge their home team on to another score, and we'll see what they can do. Chicago now is coming out on their sideline. And we'll see. It looks like it could be number 10, Mary Mullaney, with the kick. But the last time they lined up like this, it ended up going with Carolyn Lee, number 68, who has made all of the kicks here for Chicago. So we'll see what happens here. Seattle is back, ready to receive the kick. Here's Mary Mullaney, and again, they're going to go with a short pooch kick. And this time, it's Camille Head with it at her own 40, and she winds around and is brought down by number 17, Darlene Hall. So she's brought down at about her 40, own 44-yard line. First and 10 for Seattle. That last touchdown by Patricia Harper, that was her fifth touchdown on the season and her third play of 40-plus yards. So a quick strike puts Chicago back up by two touchdowns. And we'll see what Seattle can do here with about 5.5 minutes left to go in the game. That team speed for Seattle could be a factor here. Chicago, though, is putting up a good defensive front. We'll see what happens. And here's the pass. It's complete to Gornick, and she is into Chicago territory. She gains about 7 yards, and it's going to be second and three. The second and two, and they're at the Chicago 48. Better than that, they start the clock, and so Air Force Sanderson is out, and number 87, Renee Redup, comes into the game for the Majestics. We'll see if they decide to try and keep up that aerial attack, or if they're going to slow things down and run it. But with 5 minutes left and two touchdowns down, I don't know that Seattle has a lot of chances to take it easy. And here's a pass intended for Gretchen Petras, but it was swapped away by number 17, Darlene Hall. So it's an incomplete pass, and it brings up third and three with about 4:40 left in the game. So Sanderson now back in the game, Air Force, one of the leading rushers for Seattle, and she is having quite a season. She was also named as a IWFL All-Star, and she has 6 touchdowns on the season. So we'll see if she can make something happen. She's in the backfield with number 3, Rachel Gore, and Michael Volk under center. They're going to elect to throw once again. And number 4, Gornick, once again comes down with the reception, and it's enough for the Majestics. First down. So the Majestics getting a little drive going here. 4.5 minutes left, and they're moving the chains once again. They are at the 41-yard line of Chicago. The clock continues to run now after they stopped it for just a moment and adjusted the chains for the first down. Now the Majestics come out. Michael Volk under center, 2 wideouts, 2 in the backfield. She's looking to pass once again. She's got Crystal Brown in the open, and she makes the completion, and it's going to be a pickup of about 5 or 6 yards there. So Seattle's dinking and dunking and working their way around the field. It's going to bring up a 2nd and 5. And we've got a timeout on the field by Seattle. So with 4 minutes and 5 seconds left, Chicago leading 28-14, but Seattle on the move, and they are down to the 30, 3 of Chicago. So the Seattle team trying to make the best of their opportunity here. It could be one of their last. And they're getting some last-second instruction from head coach Mike Talley, one of the 2009 IWFL All-Star coaching staff. So now the Majestics break the huddle and come out to meet the Chicago defense. The Volk under center with Rachel Gore and Air Force Crystal Sanderson in the backfield. She's got Golnick out on her right and downtown Crystal Brown to her left. She's looking out right, and it is caught. But right away, number 10, Mary Valaney wraps up Golnick, Debbie Golnick, and stops her. But it is a Seattle first down. So once again, that clock, or that the chains move, and the clock stops momentarily. Now the clock continues to run, less than 4 minutes in the game, and they're waiting for the play. So let's see what happens here. The play clock with about 30 seconds, but the play clock at this point is not the enemy, it's the game clock. And Seattle is going to need to make something happen and then hope that they can get the ball back and score again. Now Volk's looking. And she's under pressure. She's going to be brought down for a loss by number 63, Jamie Menzik. That's a big loss. It's going to take Seattle back about 10 yards. And Volk obviously not happy about that. So let's see what happens here. It's going to be second down and long for the Majestics. And we're coming up on about 3 minutes left in the game. And Seattle is taking a look at what they can do. So here comes Seattle out of the huddle. They're working at the Chicago 38, and they've got quite a ways to go. The first down is about the 18, so they've got second and 20. And here she comes. She unloads Michael Volk. Crystal Brown, and she just got bumped by Mary Valaney. Couldn't reel it in. And so it's an incomplete pass. It's going to bring up third and 20. So let's see what Seattle does here. They're going to try and, will they try and go right to the end zone, or are they going to try and pick up this this 20 yards in two plays? Because obviously, at this point in the game, you're into fourth down territory. And so we'll see what happens. The incomplete pass does stop the play clock, so there's 2.5 minutes left. But Seattle's going to need something here in a hurry, and then they're going to need to make something happen with an onside kick. So Volk is under center. She's got Crystal Brown as her wideout. And here she unloads. She's looking for Adrian Wilson. And it's in through the arms of Adrian Wilson, and she can't make the reception. So it brings up a big fourth down. It would have been a 10-yard completion, but this pretty much could be the ball game with 2.5 minutes left. There's 2 minutes and 31 seconds left. That last ball only took 6 seconds off the clock, and it's a fourth and 20. So we'll see. Let's see what happens. And now Seattle's making final preparations. It's fourth down and 20. And they break the huddle for the what could be one of their last offensive plays. Let's see if they can make something happen here. They've got to get to the 18. Okay, let's see. Here is the pass. Rachel Gore out, and she makes the completion, but she is going to be well short of the first down, and it's going to go over to Chicago on downs.
They can't hear you. They got it. It's blocked by user.
It's not blocked. And let's see what's going on here. So we've got 2 minutes and 22 seconds left, and this Chicago first team is going to try and hold on to their lead. They're up 28-14. So let's see what we can do here. Okay, so it looks like we've got the 2 minute warning here. And it's with 2 minutes left in the game, it's going to be Chicago 28, Seattle 14. So let's see what Chicago does to try and ride out the last 2 minutes of this game. It's been a hard fought game. And it was 7-0 at halftime. And since then, the offenses have really come alive. Here we go. The Chicago Force with five wide. Sammy Grisapi is in the backfield in the shotgun formation. Let's see what happens here. The Seattle crowd is chanting for defense. It's going to take a defensive stand here to make something happen. Sammy Grisapi is up, and she takes it for about 8 yards. Short of the first down, but the clock continues to run. Rachel Gore with yet another tackle. So with about a minute and a half left, and Chicago looks like they will come in and upset the Seattle Majestics here at home. And we'll go back to playing the rival Kansas City team. And this should be interesting. It'll be the third match for Chicago and Kansas City. Chicago winning one, Kansas City winning one. And this will be the rubber match for the Western Conference Championship. A win would put Chicago in their second straight national championship. So let's see what happens here. Sammy Grisapi takes the shotgun. Snap, and she gets the third, or nope, she comes up a little short, so there's about 30 seconds left, and the clock is just going to run, and Chicago is just going to let it run, so the final score looks like it will be Chicago 28, Seattle 13, and Sammy Grisapi and the rest of her crew have to feel pretty good about coming in here and getting the job done against Seattle. So Chicago will advance and meet Kansas City in Kansas City in the Western Conference Championship game. Here's Sammy Grisapi for probably the last play of the game, and she's just going to go ahead and get the first down, and that is the ball game. So Chicago wins, and they will come in and upset the Seattle Majestics. And the final score is Chicago 28 and Seattle 14. Thank you, everybody who watched the game on livestream.com/Seattle Majestics TV, and everyone who listened to me. So, again, Chicago and Kansas City in 2 weeks for the Western Conference Championship. D.C. will host Boston in 2 weeks. And then in Round Rock, Texas, in a month, you get yourself the IWSL National Championship game. From Seattle, good night.